Hello.
Howdy, howdy.
Oh, let me grab my headphones.
Alrighty.
This is always a fucking adventure every week. Oh, I keep forgetting. Bring my headphones. Oh, do I sound good?
Yeah, you sound great on my end.
All right, yeah, your audio sounds a little down.
Okay. This is the first time I've ever done this on my phone.
Oh, yeah, you're on your phone. That might be it.
Okay.
Yeah. We might be able to go back and mess with the audio. Where? How did this happen? You think I would have left him in the same room last week?
I mean, you know, no judgment.
This should just be the podcast.
Sure.
Me looking for my headphones.
Ruffling around.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the other podcast I did this week, because this is the second one I've done on my phone this week. The other one was the wrestling one. And I was doing it while driving. This week I'm not driving. I'm sitting in a parking lot. But last week I was, Sunday I was driving, and at one point I just started going, "Oh, landmarks!" Because I happened to be driving through, NC State's camp. Like, I happened to be near NC State this weekend, and so I just started going, "Oh, that's different. Oh, that's that's all changed." Yeah, basically, the short version of it was when I was in school. Basically, the entire city and campus was under construction, and I go away, and they finish all of it.
Of course.
And it looks awesome, and I didn't get any of that. The main college town drag, like, the main, like, with all the college bars and all the college shit. Like, the whole time I was there, it was just littered with homeless people and construction. And now it's all, like, huge, you know, like those multi-purpose buildings that have, like, shops at the bottom floor and apartments at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all of that now.
While I'm looking for these headphones, I thought of an idea. Because I want to add some NFL coverage, but I know you don't really watch.
Okay.
What if I did like a 15-minute segment we edit in with, like, I'm thinking like maybe asking Wes.
Okay.
And maybe like that'll be our NFL thing.
That'd be fine with me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, if he's willing to do it, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would be. And like with Ringer, I could sit there and record the conversation, and then we could just, you know, then you can just edit into the show.
Yeah, we just got to have a... Like, if we just, like, when we're doing our regular show, we could just, like, say, okay, here's our NFL segment, and then we just leave enough of a pause.
Yeah, it'll be like, oh, let's go to me and Wes. It'll be like me and Wes on Ringer talking NFL.
And then we just edit, like, that leave, in. Yeah, we just maybe leave a add, gap like, a little sound when we're effect. Talking. Yeah, we just leave a gap when we're talking so that you know where to stick it in the file. And then, you know, when it's done, we can do some goofy shit like, oh, great, great point, Wes.
Yeah.
But it's like really obvious we haven't heard him because you haven't talked
yet. Yeah, or you can just make it obvious it's like another interview we pre-recorded. Like a lot of shows do that now. I don't think.
But I think, have you ever heard Shapiro's show?
No.
Oh, he does like a lot of really funny stuff where he comes back and he's like,
oh, I've heard like when he does like his ESPN.com commercials.
Yeah.
Big fan of those. I was just listening to him and Gagne's, or whatever his name is, their retrospective on the WWF. That's now taken like 15 years, it feels like.
Yeah. I thought he did that with the other guy. The Burn Notice. The guy who's got the same name as the guy from Burn Notice, but isn't from Burn.
Who's the guy with the voice? I hate the whiny guy who's on the list one.
That's the Burn Notice
Matt
guy, I think.
Or something?
Yeah, Matt
Feuerstein. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of him.
like him with Shapiro. I don't know if I can listen to him.
I just he's just real negative, and he's a, got a whiny voice. I can't deal with a whiny voice. Like, you know, like, what if this whole podcast is like both of us? We're like, I don't like this play. That's
we should do that one week for like 5 minutes and then snap out of it.
Fuck. Are you like hearing your voice again on the audio?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear all of the echoing.
I don't know what I do with my headphones. This is a crazy life of me.
Have you checked? Are they like wrapped around? Wrapped around furniture.
See, my leading theories are just in the floor somewhere. Because I've looked everywhere else, and I'm like, I don't remember putting them up, so I must have just casually tossed them aside. And then didn't, you know, have a thought geared towards them until now. Because I've not gotten into this habit.
I do have a bit of a thought, an NFL thought this week, if we want to do it, about Prescott and Wentz. About Dak Prescott and Wentz and how they're doing well.
Yeah, I thought Wentz has looked pretty good. And now Matt Ryan's, you know, people forget he's the best quarterback in the NFL, according to the numbers. Yeah, number one or two in every category. So maybe not some nerd football. I'd like to go on a rant about Football Outsiders.
See, that'll make me uncomfortable because
I'm not. Like, I think those people are going to ruin the sport of football like people ruin baseball.
No, they didn't ruin baseball.
But, like one thing was, like, Vinny was, like, arguing about how, like, overtime's stupid because its ties would be better for numbers. And I'm like, who gives a fuck? This is supposed to be fun. Stupid. Not, like, to complete your little, like, gay-ass spreadsheet. Like, come the fuck on, man. Like, maybe be a man, not a nerd.
That's
what I hate. Because I'm, wrap like... my head around. I love college overtime.
Well, my ideal overtime is, like, a blend of the two. Because I do get annoyed that you get the ball to 25, because that makes it almost impossible to play defense.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Kind of, but then you get into, like, the third or fourth overtime, and nobody has any defense, and it's like, ugh. What I wish would happen is that you kick it deep. And you just guarantee both teams a possession.
Yeah, kind of like...
So, as soon as both teams have had a possession, then first team to score
kinda
wins.
Kind of like how the NFL's half doing it, but just you can't... If you score a touchdown.
Yeah, that killed me, because it was like... Okay, you guys got so close to something logical and added this, like, needlessly fussy weirdness. It's like, wow, you can't win on a field goal. Well, why should you be able to win on a touchdown? Like, both teams should get one possession.
Because field goals are for pussies. Everyone...
I just don't see what's so different about just give both teams one possession. If it's still tied, then first to score wins.
But yeah, I don't know. I just feel like these people are ruining sports. I don't want to hear a bunch of dumb numbers. I want to talk about dingers and touchdowns and slam dunks.
Those are all statistics.
Yeah, but you know, like these guys are like, you know, someone slam dunks the ball and it's going to be like, well, you know, statistically, it makes more sense to lay it up. Like,
nobody does that. That's
you can't let nerds get away with this.
No, they all argue. No, the nerd argument about basketball is that the best two shots are a three-pointer and a dunk.
That's true.
And that's all you should
do. And I do like it a little bit more in basketball, but I don't think football goes with numbers. I don't believe it.
I think everything goes with numbers because like all statistics are
just
a record of
football is
just
so different than any sport because like literally one thing can happen on every play and it's something different. Like,
but that's why you need statistics to like what is the record of what like to me the best statistical stuff is like when you start is like play charting, and the best football statistical stuff is where they chart plays and they go okay this happened this many times blah 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 blah. So it's not like, well, you should roll out on 3rd and 8 Only, you know, no.
But maybe like, you should. Okay, how many like in this situation? Because like this guy rolled his ankle earlier. I just
like that's getting ridiculous. I'm a big fan though of like when like the play charting where it's like, hey, how much of this, how much of their running production is coming from their running back, and how much is coming from their offensive line? Like that isolated rushing yards or whatever it is, and where it's like the first 5 yards or the first 5 yards of the line, and then the next 5 yards, it's half between the line and the running back, and everything after that's the running back. That's good shit.
Well, and some of the stuff's okay. It's just their general attitude, because they're fucking nerds, and they're nerds who are like aren't trying to be cool. Mike Greenberg or something.
Mike Greenberg's not a nerd.
Greenberg's very much a nerd. He's a little pipsqueak.
But no, because he doesn't like listen to any facts. He's just a dork.
But he's still a nerd. Like, you would put Greenberg in a locker.
Yeah, but he's not a nerd in the sense that he doesn't know math or anything.
Yeah, but I think they're going to ruin football.
No, nothing that gives you more knowledge.
Like, I don't like overtime.
Well, no one's going to listen.
They will when those guys become the movers and the shakers in 20 years. And we have like some Asian woman as GM of the Browns because she can do math well.
Well, okay. If we're going to talk about the most overrated people in sports, it's NFL GM.
It's Asian. Female Asian
like,
GM.
Literally, they're... I mean, I anything to disrupt the NFL GM situation. Because NFL GMs are uniformly terrible.
And they're usually more of a detriment than anything else. God fucking...
Like, literally, I think the number one thing about being a GM is... how good are you at managing office politics and cutting other people's balls off? Because it doesn't really seem to have anything to do with like your NFL, like your
yeah.
Because
like usually your coach is gonna have more of a say on personnel. Or should.
Like that's what's so annoying about the NFL is so many times they have these like weird personnel pissing fights over who gets to be in charge, and it's like, well, one of you knows what they're talking about, and the other one doesn't. So.
But one, like, has to run their offense a certain way and needs players that are like this, you know? And
The GM is the most overrated. Like, literally, a successful team, all they need is a coach and a dude who, like, understands the cap. And all they do is sit around learning the NFL's Byzantine contract rules.
Ozzie Newsome. Won 2 Super Bowls.
Well, no, Ozzie Newsome's okay. Ozzie Newsome's great because he knows the draft. You've got to have somebody who understands like scouting.
Well, I think that's why scouts are so important.
If it's not your coach, then I kind of tend to think you're in trouble. Because like, your coach should be the guy who like understands what great players look like more than anybody else. But there's always exceptions to every rule. I mean, I think Ozzie Newsome has proven himself over a long time, so it's like, well...
Yeah, I mean, what, he's won 2 Super Bowls? That's pretty damn impressive.
Man, he built a franchise pretty much from scratch, because the Browns, when they moved to Baltimore, were crap.
Motherfucker. You know, I may have to go buy some headphones.
Okay, well, do we need to do this tonight, or can we do it tomorrow?
The only other night I could do it is Thursday after 9, because I work until 9.
Okay. Well, that Coughlin is a little delayed. How quick did Coughlin get episode 2?
The next day.
Or were we able to do it? Okay.
And if we send it to him that night, he'll get it. Well, we'd have to edit it. But
yeah, I'll be able to do more stuff because I'm not having to wake up early in the morning and go to work.
Yeah, I could try to do it from my phone.
But there's an echo.
I meant like on my.
Oh, and see if there's an echo.
We can try that. We can try that and see how that goes. I'm sure I'll find the headphones as soon as I do that. But
yeah, I mean, if there's an echo, then we can wait till Thursday, I guess. But
let me do that real quick. Let me download it. And,
okay.
But the quality is probably going to be shit. I'm afraid of.
And we'll see.
Yeah. Because, like, it's weird how good the quality was last week. Except for some syncing issues, but... Nope, you gone? Oh, okay.
No, I'm here.
But yeah, Coughlin, I think, had it up. When I say I sent it Wednesday, it was definitely up by Friday. It was probably up Thursday. So, oh, fuck! They found him.
Does he have an RSS feed?
There we go. Wow.
Okay.
So, yeah, okay. My apartment's real clean. Can't tell.
Do they have an RSS feed?
What was that?
Do they have an RSS feed?
Turn that up. All right, what were we saying?
Do they have an RSS feed?
I know we're on their like podcast feed. If you sub to Half Guarded.
Because I was searching for it on
Downtown. Yeah, I have it on Beyond Pod. I just clicked the link on the webpage.
Okay. So they do have
it. We're on there, yeah. So we're just like part of that little stable. We're not like by ourselves, but we come on their feed. So yeah.
That's good. I'd rather be part of a group because then you can glom audience off people.
Mm. All right. I'm ready.
I am too. And I'm not hearing an echo. So this is working.
Right, let's just start at 17 minutes. Feels comfortable. That'll be.
So I'll give you a countdown. 10. And 5. Yeah.
Wait.
Okay, starting at 5.
Now.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And welcome to the Power Hour on HalfGuarded.com. I'm your host, Zachary, I don't know, Textile Gilbert. This is my co-host, Dan motherfucking Ford.
Jesus.
How we doing?
How you doing, y'all?
Ah, crazy week.
I was about to say, are you sure you're not Zachary Tallahassee, Tunney? Or not
Zachary. Tunney. Zachary, Texas A&M kicked your asses on Saturday, Gilbert. But we won't start with that from this weekend. There were some pretty big games. I'd say the biggest was Louisville coming to the party.
Louisville.
Kicking open the door.
Louisville. Louisville got it done.
Louisville, they came, like, they were kind of invited to the party, but they said, fuck that, we're here. They made an entrance. They kicked down the door. They pissed in FSU's birthday cake, and they left. And they burnt that bitch down.
Man. Imagine if they were in the Big 12 right now, how many points they'd score this year.
I mean, they've probably got the best player in the nation. They've got one of the smartest coaches in the nation, although we'll argue about that.
They've got the September Heisman one.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Michael Vick said 5 times better than me.
And he was. No, Michael Vick said 6 times, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. My bad. I missed an integer there.
But yeah, pretty big week. We both were wrong on that pick'em. We both had FSU all day.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, if you're going to lose big.
Like, don't. And they lost big. And I think Petrino kind of was running up the score there.
Well.
Or Paterno, not Petrino.
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 One of my favorite things about Petrino is that a few years ago, Steve Spurrier was asked who he thought the best offense mind in college football was. And he picked Petrino. And I was like, yeah, of course you guys would get along with each other. Like, that makes sense. So Petrino's always had that Spurrier thing to him where it's like, you know what? We're not just going to win. Let's win by 100. Let's just keep going.
They just wrecked him. It was awful. But there were some other games. There's another team that got wrecked, and that was big game Bob Stoops not showing up again in an important situation.
Yeah. And look. It's untenable. I understand it's not easy to fire your brother, but it is completely untenable for Mike Stoops to remain defensive coordinator there. Like, how many times does Oklahoma walk into a game against, roughly equal talent, and then their defense just get b- bombed, like, yeah. Pearl Harbor'd out of existence. Like, at some point, you have to look up and say, our defense is broken. The worry, if I was an Oklahoma fan, would be that, like, well, how much of this defense is Mike Stoops and how much of it is Bob? And it's like, you could fire Mike all day long and the defense, you know, it could be like a Les Miles offense situation at LSU, where it's like, you know, Oklahoma fans definitely want Mark Stoops. I can't remember which one. Both Mike and Mark are getting fired this year. But Oklahoma wants Mike Stoops gone, Oklahoma fans. And then, you know, you get a different defensive coordinator in there and they're going to have the same problems because it's still going to be Bob Stoops.
And how good...
Maybe the game is past Bob Bowden.
Yeah.
Or maybe Bob just can't recruit. I mean, well, the other discussion has been, like, Oklahoma's recruiting. Look, there's a lot of, like, late-stage Jim Tressel going on with Oklahoma these days, where it's like he won a championship early, like Tressel did at Ohio State. He recruits well, but not elite recruiting. He just recruits better than everybody else in his conference. And then when you see them against somebody else from outside a conference who recruits, you know, in an elite fashion, whether it's Clemson, whether it's Ohio State, they're just not at that level of talent.
No, and but speaking of Ohio State,
that's rough for
Ohio State. Playoff team? Thinking so. Think I'm right.
I'm not sure yet because I'm not really sure how good Oklahoma is. And their other two opponents were.
Yeah, but who
not
else will Ohio
good.
State play
so,
really? Michigan.
Michigan and Michigan State.
Michigan State got a win, but I think Notre Dame just sucks.
Notre Dame, their defense is definitely shitty. Like, there's no way around that. And speaking of another defensive coordinator who's going to get fired, Van Gorder is so.
How does Van Gorder keep getting jobs? He was awful in the Falcon. He was awful in the pro level, awful at Georgia.
He was awful as a. I mean, he famously went to Georgia Southern as head coach and said the option's bullshit. I'm getting rid of this, and was fired within a year when he went
getting jobs at
2-10.
Like pretty big program.
I don't get it. I don't get it. But he's about to get fired from this one.
Before he went to Notre Dame.
Well, he was before Notre Dame. I believe he was Gene Chizik's last defensive coordinator at Auburn. And before that, he was at Georgia,
I
believe. Was the Falcons in between Auburn, or was the Falcons after
Falcons were like...
Georgia.
Gosh, it may have been during the Vic days. Van Gorder.
Okay. Because I know he was their defensive coordinator.
He was pretty bad. And that mustache. Come on, man. So, you know what?
Well, now he's got a Van Dyke.
Let me do it earlier in the week, though. We go ahead and do it. Fuck you, Van Gorder. Get that thing off your fucking face.
Or just, like, learn how to defend something.
Yeah, well, learn... Can you defend that facial hair?
Like, just learn what an offense does.
Can he defend his choices in facial hair?
My dad has always had that facial hair, too. But my dad's a nice guy. Van Gorder is incompetent
at everything
he does.
Your dad isn't
trying
to be a defensive coordinator at major college programs, either.
Also, my dad doesn't diet. That's the other thing. You gotta let that thing go gray when you hit that age.
Yeah.
Don't be vain.
And, but yeah.
Don't spend all your time buying Just for Men. You gotta be in that film room trying to figure out how to stop four verts because it appears
you
have no idea.
He's trying to find the right beard dye or facial hair dye instead of watching film. So, maybe to help Van Gorder out.
I am not a Brian Kelly hater. I'm not a Brian Kelly hater. I think he's the best coach Notre Dame has had in 20 plus
years. Since Tyrone.
Brian, Mr. Kelly, what film did you watch on Michigan State going into that game? Because I swear Notre Dame's game plan was let's run the ball. Okay, this is the one thing you always know about Michigan State. You can never run the ball on them. Okay, they will not let you run the ball. Their secondary is terrible and they can't pass rush, but we're going to run the ball for three quarters, not score any points. And then in the fourth quarter, hey, let's just start throwing it deep on their crap ass secondary. Oh, it's working. Maybe we should have done this in the first quarter.
You know what? That reeks of like a football guy. kind of move. Like, you throw the ball a lot, you lose to Texas, and you're like, fuck this. We got to toughen up. We're going to go, you know, heavy eye and run it. You know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. But this is 2017.
But, and here's the other thing. Brian Kelly's never coached a team that could run the ball all that well. Like, no, that's just not... That's not his team.
What Notre Dame's been known for in the Kelly era. Like, they've been known for, like, spreading it out and having, like, a pretty good quarterback and excellent receivers.
Like, that's Brian... Like, a Brian Kelly team running the ball is very much what they do after they've established the pass. When his teams have been good at running the ball, it's always, you know, we got the run, we got the pass established, we got that secondary playing back, now let's run the ball a little bit. They've never been very good at running. I mean, going back to Cincinnati, they were not very good at running the ball when you expected the run.
Yeah, and that's actually always been one of my favorite kind of offensive strategies. Kind of come out in the first half, sling it, throw it a lot, and then beat them down in the second when you've gotten a lead.
Well, you know, that's you and Bill Walsh. So
I think the first time I noticed a team running that offense was like that old Cowboys team with like Wade Phillips, so that old one from like 10 years ago. Where, like, they'd come in and throw it with Romo and, like, you know, to T.O. and whomever, and then, like, kill you with Marion Barber in the second half. Love that. It's, like, my favorite way to do a game plan. And he kind of did the opposite of what I like against Michigan State.
Yeah, and it's one thing when you're, like, Wisconsin or, you know, a classic Wisconsin team, not necessarily this year's Wisconsin team, but if you're... Or if you're a Jim Harbaugh team or you're Stanford or something where you've got the big boys up front who are built to block and knock people the hell out, and if you're like, hey, we're a big burly team, we're going to establish the run first because that's who we are. All right, I mean, that's a way to win. I'm not arguing against running the ball, but if that's not what you've recruited, if that's not the kind of team you've built, what are you doing? Like, I just don't understand. Like, Brian Kelly does some weird shit, man. He's a really good coach. He's not a bad coach at all. And that Notre Dame job is way harder than Notre Dame fans think it is. I mean, I would think they would have learned that from the 20 years in between Lou Holtz and Brian Kelly, that this job is not easy.
Well, especially when you get geniuses like Charlie Weiss and Tyrone Willingham in there.
I mean, and Bob Davey is not a bad coach.
He had some success there,
though. Talking about him at New Mexico.
Not to what they want,
nah,
but like...
He didn't. He was a 500 coach, but he was the guy... Like, he followed Lou Holtz when they were, like, competing for national championships. Like, he took over a program that was still successful and sort of left it
You talk about a coach who thinks too much, maybe overcomplicates things. I could think of a certain coach down in Alabama.
Oh, man.
Gus Malzahn, really overcomplicated his offense once again and lost to A&M. Game he should have won.
Okay, here's my Gus Malzahn defense of the week. this is a recurring gimmick on this show, is that every week I'll go out and defend Gus Malzahn. But, I mean, Texas A&M's got a pretty good defense if we can go by the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, and like... they have a good pass rusher that was number 15, was solid all night.
Like, John Chavis has a long track record of building excellent defenses in the SEC. They were improved last year. They're looking pretty daggum good this year. Is it fair to throw the book at Gus Malzahn because he's getting shut down by good defenses?
When you're supposed to be an offensive guru?
I need more data.
Yeah.
But not every year is going to be great. Like, that. This gets back into the big thing about Auburn is you guys got to have some patience.
Well, I don't think they're firing Gus anytime soon if you look at, like, kind of the political situation in Auburn. But,
that would be the first time that they didn't yank a coach.
The AD extended him last year, so it'd be $8 million to buy him out, which isn't that much, but it's still money.
Yeah, they did that with Chizik.
But he doesn't really want to do another coaching search, and there's a new president coming in about a year at Auburn. So I think it's going to be kind of lame duck in Auburn, and then we'll see what happens after a year.
Here's the thing about Auburn is, like, what does it matter what the AD wants?
Yeah.
What do the boosters think?
Well, And we'll see.
If the boosters want him gone, he's gone. I mean, that's what we know about Auburn. The AD does not have power.
And that'll lead me into next week. But any games you want to talk about before that? From last week?
Well, I mean, the Louisville Florida State game was... Look, I've never seen a Jimbo Fisher team taken apart quite like that before. I mean, I think all of us expected when Louisville ran out the big lead in the first quarter, I think we all expected Florida State to sort of, all right, let's get our shit together and start, reeling this thing back in. Not necessarily that Florida State was going to come back and win, but that Florida State would come back and make it a game. And just Louisville kept stepping on their throat all day long. And just like, no. And the biggest thing to me, and I was a skeptical about this guy, but Todd Grantham's defense in Louisville is legit. I was very skeptical of how that defense would look the further we got away from the players that Charlie Strong left. And he has maintained that excellence and recruited his own. Like, these are the guys who are mostly recruited by him at this point. There's a few Charlie Strong guys left, but this is his defense. It's not him coaching Charlie Strong's defense, and it is still excellent. It is still salty. And this is the first time in Bobby Petrino's entire coaching career he's got a defense to go with his
offense.
And
that makes Louisville really dangerous, I think.
And I don't like saying this, but this is what his NFL offense would have looked like if Michael Vick hadn't gotten arrested.
Or if he hadn't quit, then maybe...
He quit because the team was all screwed up because it wasn't the team he signed up to.
Because he doesn't have any integrity.
He quit because he signed up to coach Michael Vick, and then he didn't have Michael Vick.
He's spineless and a bad person. And has affairs.
Okay.
And can't drive a motorcycle.
Disagree? Look, I'm not arguing about his moral character. I'm just saying, if I signed up to coach Michael Vick and then suddenly I'm having to coach Joey Harrington and somebody starts offering me $4 million to get the fuck out away from Joey Harrington, I'm taking that every day.
Matt Ryan comes in the next season. Could run that offense with Matt Ryan.
Well, you can't always see the future.
Oh.
Look, Bobby Petrino lives life today. He has never worried about tomorrow.
He's a live in the moment guy, but let's jump ahead next weekend and let's kick off a game. I think it's on Friday. No, Thursday. No, Friday? Whatever the 22nd is. That's Clemson, Georgia Tech. That's Clemson minus 13.
Yeah, they have not beaten Georgia Tech in Atlanta since 2003.
Excuse me, minus 9.5. Some books have them at 13, but consensus is like 9.5.
Yeah, I think. Well, I mean, here's the thing about this game. As far as I would be surprised if Clemson didn't win. Okay, let's get that out of the way. But they've had struggles in Atlanta before. This is one of Georgia Tech's two main rivalry games. Three, I would say. I mean, the Paul Johnson era, I think Virginia Tech's a bigger game than Clemson. But, this is a traditional rivalry game, so this will be one of the three games all year that Georgia Tech fans show up.
When it's a big game coming off, you're beating, you beat like an elite SEC team last week, Vanderbilt.
you beat an SEC team at least.
They're elite in the classroom, and we know the NCAA is student before athlete. So, you'd have to say Vanderbilt. True. And Vanderbilt's got a decent defense, though. It's not like they're an awful team.
Yeah, they do.
So
they have a great defense, and Georgia Tech was able to run the ball, able to run their offense.
So if
you're predicting this game, I kind of lean toward Georgia Tech just because Clemson's offense against a real school, like no disrespect to South Carolina State, but that's not – don't talk to me about how you play against South Carolina State.
Well,
that's not.
I like Clemson at 9.
Against other FBS offenses, Clemson has really struggled this year to run the ball. If this thing turns into Clemson throwing 50 passes and Georgia Tech running that offense, Georgia Tech might have a time of possession lead that is so huge that Clemson doesn't really get a chance to build a big enough lead. Like, I could see this, the way I see this game going is that Clemson's going to win it and have, like, 13 minutes of time of possession.
I'd say the over-under is, like, around 57. I take the under. I could see this being, 17-10.
I feel better about that pick than the spread.
That's the one I would look at.
Yeah, I could easily see this thing being like, I could see this thing being even 17-7. And it's just like, Georgia Tech just holds the ball and doesn't really do anything with it.
There's a game on Friday I'm kind of interested in. I saw this one earlier. USC at Utah, only a 3-point underdog.
Yeah, that's a gift. I mean, sometimes Vegas gives you a gift when these big schools that have these big fan bases that are willing to bet on them but don't pay all that much attention. Like, you know, for years, gamblers just made money like crazy off Notre Dame. Like in all those years that we just talked about before Brian Kelly, when Notre Dame was just total crap ass. But, like, their fans would still bet on them just because that's the only school I've heard of. Yeah. That's what this line is. USC is not a 3-point underdog to Utah. USC is a 10 to 12 point underdog
against Utah.
They're going to get beat. They're going to get dominated. They are a soft, poorly coached, poorly organized team. What Utah lacks in talent, they make up for in discipline and physicality. And we've just saw what USC does when you punch them in the mouth. They fold. They folded against Alabama. They folded against Stanford. Yeah. They're going to fold against Utah.
We got another game on Saturday to kick off some Saturday games here. Penn State going to the Big House, catching 18.5. Who we like?
It's in the Big House. We're going to play. Yeah.
I like
That's too big.
But you know
spread,
what? Fuck Penn State.
Opinion.
I want Michigan to win by 30.
I mean, we all want them to win by 30, but Michigan didn't look so great at times against Colorado. They didn't cover. They did end up winning by a comfortable lead.
That was because of the fake depth chart.
Yes. But what we have seen in the first 2 weeks is that Michigan has struggled defending run-pass option plays. They've struggled with teams that get back in the shotgun and run those pass options. Central Florida ran the ball for almost three. They ran the ball for 200 yards on them. They couldn't throw and couldn't score, but they were able to run the ball. And Colorado had a lot of success. And I think Michigan, you know, they've got a new defensive coordinator, and I think they'll have it figured out by the end of the year. But right now, their safeties aren't quite in the right places all the time to defend those kind of plays. And Penn State, that's basically their whole offense. So I could see Penn State moving the ball well enough to keep that thing close. On the other side, Penn State's defense isn't all that great. And their offensive line is still crap. And they're very boom and bust. And Michigan has not given up a whole lot of big plays. And that's been basically the only offense Penn State's had. So, you're going Michigan on this one?
Yeah, if I can get that down to like 14. How about that?
I would lean towards Michigan. But I don't feel as the Colorado game put a little bit of pause in.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
But we'll see. I think this is a big test. I think Michigan's ripe for an upset right now. And that's what Penn State's not the team, but if this was someone else, like if this was, Lord forgive me, an Illinois.
Hey, no, I'd feel way better about Indiana than Illinois. Well, yeah, that's what Indiana does. Every year Indiana puts a lot of points on Michigan and scares the shit out of them.
But, some team like that, but not Penn State. Let's move on. Yeah.
That's the state of, Penn State people, that's where you are right now. Indiana puts more fear in opponents than you do.
But
you may want to look
into that. But they definitely put more fear into little boys than any other school. So that's not all they're putting into little boys at Penn State.
The man did a lot of great things. But my favorite thing about that last week is that the entire student body at Penn State is like, what the fuck are you old people doing? Because, like, if you're a student at Penn State, unless you're a grad student, and grad students don't give a shit about this mess anyway. Like, I don't want to just slur grad students, but grad students just care about what they're studying. If you're an undergrad at Penn State, you never had Joe Paterno on your campus. And the overwhelming likelihood is that you're like, why are all of you old people still defending this creep? What are you doing?
No, we say that, but we do have the conspiracy theory here. I think the Bowden boys set everything up here to hurt Joe Pa's legacy.
Look, but the student body's not thinking that. That's the guy. That's the 60-year-old dude. Penn State is the home of the 60-year-old woke guy who's like, I can see the seams. I can see the truth. Why can't you see it?
I've got to find that guy on Twitter again. Get him on the cast. I gotta hear their whole
man. I don't know if I can handle it. Like it might melt my headphones.
He'd be a reoccurring guest for sure if I could get him. But let's move on to your biggest game of the year, Pittsburgh. Going into North Carolina, catching 7. I like UNC a lot. In fact, I tease it up to 10.
I love Pitt. Pitt, get the sound effect ready. Pitt, lock it down, baby. Lock it. Pitt's going to win this outright. Pitt is going to win this outright. Take that spread. You are going to make some money this week on Pitt. Pitt's going to whoop that ass.
I like UNC there. I'm not going to lock it. I will remind people, though, I also liked Georgia State catching 30 last week. I was right about that. So people forget that I was right.
Yeah. People forget that. Look, here's the thing. Pitt last week. Okay, I'm going to – the Pitt haters all came out of the woodwork to come at me about last week. But it's like – okay, yeah, Pitt didn't win the game against Oklahoma State, but there was like a 3-hour weather delay. You never know after like 3 hours how teams are going to come out. That almost makes me want to throw that whole game out. It's like, yeah, it counts as a loss, but don't hold that against Pitt that they didn't respond well after a 3-hour lightning break.
Wouldn't a good team that wouldn't bother like a really good team?
It's no, that stuff's freakish. You never know how that stuff's, it's completely random how teams are going to respond.
That sounds like an excuse.
Look, UNC cannot stop the run.
Yeah.
At all. They cannot stop you running between the tackles. They can't stop me. They can't stop
nothing.
Could UNC. Pitt is going to run for 400 yards.
Stop O.J. Simpson today on the moon.
No! Oh my God, no! Oh my God, no! If anything, the moon would help a running back, though. Like, if we're going to talk about moon physics, because you don't have as much pressure coming down on your knee.
But could you just kind of jump off and tackle him, though, without the gravity there? Like,
but he can jump, too.
It's like
I think that cancels.
It's a trampoline scenario. So what we might need to do, Dan, might need to get a trampoline. Get, like, 3 guys on there, 1 guy carrying a ball. Everyone's jumping. Then we see what happens. Maybe go to a trampoline park with multiple trampolines.
Look, in the name of science, I will carry this scientific situation.
We've got a trampoline park like not too far from me here in Atlanta. I could go to a local high school, recruit 5 guys, buy them some beer, and that'll be like their payment.
Okay, that's illegal.
Yeah. I mean, if their parents agree, hypothetically. And then we'll see what happens.
I still don't think that's legal. Like, it's not like you can. It's
what
not
if
like getting
French?
Married below age, where if they sign off. Look, if you want to go to France to do this, I will support you.
But then they could
set up a Patreon account.
But then they could get alcohol either way. So maybe I'll sell them, like, cigarettes or something. I don't know. Something they can't get. Pornography? That's not going to get me in any trouble.
Look, if there's anything an 18-year-old needs, it's help
especially
finding pornography.
Especially in 2016. It's really hard.
Yeah. Like, they really are going to need your help there.
And these are football players. They're not looking at porn. They're banging chicks. They're jocks.
Are we getting offensive linemen? Because if it's offensive linemen,
we're going to get D linemen, but they're, D linemen are a lot more sexy. Maybe some linebackers. We'll find out.
Look, when you're talking about high school, you really need to get down to the skill
that
position.
That might be
players.
The better way to go. Well, I mean, we'll see. There's a lot of talent here in Atlanta, so we may have some 5-star recruits on the Power Hour Trampoline Challenge.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll look forward to that, tearing up their knee but on a know trampoline do it. Before they get their scholarship get offer. Beer.
It's all worth it.
Sure.
But let's move on. Speaking of beer, Wisconsin, catching 5.5, going to Michigan State. I know they looked bad last week. Give me Wisconsin to upset Michigan State outright. Yeah, I like it.
Oh, hit the horn. We're going to both lock this up.
I'm not locking this one up. This isn't my lock, but...
Oh, you're not? Okay. Actually, now that I don't have a horn, I'm talking myself out of that. Because Michigan State, like, the only thing they can do is stop the run. And that's all Wisconsin can do. Because Wisconsin
I feel like
really
this is
throw.
Like a 6-3 game. Wisconsin gets some turnovers, they pull it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Nobody's going to be able to move the ball in this game. It's just going to be two rocks ramming into each other over and over and over
again. But let me move on to, I do have a lock of the week. That's their next game. Arkansas going to Texas A&M. Texas A&M only favored by 5.5. Lock them up. A&M's going to win that game by double digits. Yeah. Yes.
Really?
They beat Auburn. Auburn's better than Arkansas, I think. Yeah, we are.
No, they're not. I think Arkansas is the second best team
bullshit.
In the SEC.
Because A&M's the second best team.
I think that... Nah, I think I like Arkansas better than them. I like their team. I like their setup.
I like A&M.
I like
it's going to be in the 12th man's butt, or whatever they call it.
I don't trust... Well, name all of those great home victories by Kevin Sumlin's Texas A&M. I'll wait.
This season.
Yeah,
you got
that
one,
was a big one. Oh, man. That's a good... Oh, man, UCLA, they're definitely better than Arkansas. Yeah. Oh, wait. We have seen before that home field advantage doesn't really mean a lot to Kevin Sumlin's teams. In fact, they seem to play better on the road because Sumlin doesn't seem to be all that good at keeping distractions out. And they tend to... I guess they just get drunk more, you know, when they're at home. Because their guys just don't tend to show up all that well at when they're playing at home. And
yeah.
Arkansas, I just trust the way their team operates more. Because I, when I look at Arkansas, I see a team that has balance. They can run the ball. Their identity is running the ball, but they can throw the ball. I look at Texas A&M, and I see a team that when push comes to shove, they're just going to want to throw it 60
times. But that's okay.
Even if the run is there. But no, it's not.
And if the run's there, the quarterback's going to make plays.
But they're not going to take it, because we've seen this all the time with Texas A&M. They will go out there and Lincoln Riley this sumbitch and just throw it 60 times as if it's 2003 and that air raid stuff
okay.
is still innovative.
But you're
and it's like, no,
you like Arkansas, a team that's pretty famous for coming up short in the Burt Bielema era.
Well, no, their issue has always been that they start slow and get really good at the end of the year. Bo, they're 3-0. Burt
well,
figured
I think
it out.
He's not going to figure it out this week. I think A&M's so much better than Arkansas.
And if
so much,
they're not.
They are.
They're just
you're
not.
You're wrong.
They're not. And
you've been wrong. Yeah.
And here's the other thing: if you're asking me which coach do I trust, Kevin Sumlin or Brett Bielema? Holy shit, Brett Bielema's a better coach than that guy.
Sounds,
like that's not even close.
So you're trusting
to
the
being,
fat old white guy over the black guy? That's what I'm hearing.
I'm trusting the guy who's got conference titles. Tell me how many titles Sumlin's won. List to me all the big championships Kevin Sumlin
won. He's won a Heisman. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing
Bielema
coach won.
None. So.
He's got a couple, doesn't he?
Who? Ron Dane?
Ron Dane.
Yeah.
Dane was before him. Russell Wilson should have won it. But he was better than Manziel.
Who won it that year? Oh, Manziel. No, Manziel was great that year.
I can't remember. No, they weren't. They weren't in there the same. They weren't in there the same year.
I have to look
that
one up.
Yeah. Well, Russell's problem was that he was playing in the Big Ten when people weren't paying attention to the Big Ten. But I mean, Brett won like three conference titles in a row. I'm waiting for Sumlin just to like be able to beat Alabama a second time.
I like A&M this week, regardless. I think you're wrong, and I think my track record's better than you this far. So far this season, so
this season maybe
yeah.
I've had a
I
bad season,
have.
But I just here's the thing with Texas A&M: never trust them because their team always collapses. They always fold again. This is another USC thing where this is a soft team. Arkansas gets better as the season goes on. Texas A&M gets worse.
I'm taking A&M. I like it a lot. I'm locking that one.
And I trust fat boys more than I do fast boys. Give me the fatties.
Speaking of fatties, Colorado. Keshen Tinnish.
There's no fat.
Well, rolling up a fatty.
There's no fat people in Colorado.
That was a marijuana reference. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't know the drug lingo. I'm straight edge.
But
I got it tattooed on my arms.
I'm drinking a Pepsi right now for our boy CM Punk.
Yeah.
Who, you know what? Could use some steroids. Probably could use some drugs after that fight.
Look, I'm not going to tell the guy what to do, but, oh, man, you could have used a Percocet.
Actually,
after
I just brought up the Colorado game because we're only favored by 10 against Colorado. That feels weird.
Well, Oregon's just, Oregon should fire their coach. That's why. I mean, and here's a big thing I think that coaching staff is really missing. And they've been missing this ever since Chip Kelly left, but it's gotten really bad now.
Racism.
That Scott Frost left to go coach Central Florida. They cannot run the ball. And if you go back to what made the heyday of that Oregon offense work in the Chip Kelly years, both when he was a coordinator and as a head coach, they were first and foremost a running team. Mm. They were going to gash you up the middle, and they would do all kinds of weird, frippery bullshit. They'd motion guys. They'd run option stuff. They'd run sweeps. All of that was to just so they could run up the middle over and
like
over and over
again. Like how Melzon's offense should be.
And since Chip Kelly left and Helfrich became the head coach, if you go back and you look at Helfrich's background, Helfrich comes from a West Coast offense, drop back, throw the ball all the time mindset. If you look at Chip Kelly in the pros, he's hired guys like that to be his offensive coordinator because Chip Kelly, passing the ball is not his forte. He tends to hire a passing guy to sort of help him out. In Helfrich's case, instead of keeping Chip Kelly's offense, he's tried to make it more of a throw the ball all the time offense, and he hasn't been able to develop a quarterback to run that. You know, he had Mariota and that worked, but since then he's been taking on all these FCS transfers. And Mariota's one of the greatest players in the history of college football. So he rode that guy for 2 good years. And then as soon as that guy graduated, this is what their offense has been. A team that can't run the ball, that tries to throw the ball way too damn much, isn't very successful at it. And now that Scott Frost is gone, they don't seem to be able to even run the ball at all. Like, Scott Frost is the guy... The crazy thing is that Scott Frost is the guy Oregon should have actually hired to be the head coach. Because I think Scott Frost is going to be a hell of a coach. Central Florida, they're not a great team this year, but he took over a team that went 0-12. If you're judging Scott Frost harshly right now, you're crazy or you're a Michigan fan and you still got a hard on about 1997. But they were able to run the ball on Michigan. They damn near beat Maryland last week. That is going to be a good team sooner or later. And I'm looking at Oregon, and I'm looking at a team that hired the wrong guy, and his ass needs to be fired. But it's a program. You look at Oregon's history, they haven't fired a coach in 4 years.
You bring up Central Florida, you mean future Big 12 member, Central Florida? Yeah.
No, I don't think that's going to actually happen. But mostly because the Big 12 is never actually going to add anybody. So if you're asking me which team I'm going to take, I'm going to take Colorado, especially since I'm getting points. Because this Oregon team just, they can't run the ball anymore. And they're just not capable of Oregon is still getting that respect of back the way Oregon used to get, where Oregon could cover any spread. They still are getting that a little bit, and they don't deserve it.
But let's move on to another game. Pretty big game, like a low-key big game in the SEC, I think. That's Georgia going to Oxford to sweet, sweet Dixon. Georgia's catching 7.5 some places, mostly 7 across the board. I kind of like Georgia in that game because I don't think Ole Miss is that good.
Ole Miss is a lot better than Georgia.
I think Ole Miss is like a team that I wouldn't trust to win that game by a touchdown.
Yeah, I don't either. It's just because the Ole Miss teams in Hugh Freeze's time there have been such an emotional... They've always been so emotional. and they've always had a tough time bouncing back from adversity, and they've just blown
two. Like, that was a chance to really establish yourself, and now you're feeling like a loser. Like, basically, Ole Miss got dressed up, went to the bar, and went up to the two hottest chicks at the bar and, like, fell in his face and, like, shit his pants.
But it was going well. Yeah, first, like, they almost had the.
He bought them a drink. They went to go dance. Ole Miss fell in their face and then, like, pooped all over the floor.
It was almost like they danced. They danced well. They were like this was going to work. You were gonna make this happen. And then as you sat down in the car to drive away, Like you almost had it. Like you almost
got
had
the
it.
Car to drive away and then like drove off a cliff. Basically.
I mean, it's like they just about had, like, this was so sad to see them blow this thing twice, and they just cannot run. I mean, at some point, Hugh Freeze has got to figure out how running the ball works, because this is pathetic.
I was trying to explain to a coworker on Saturday when the game was going, they're like, "Ole Miss, how's Ole Miss blowing this?" And I'm like, "You can't beat Alabama if you can't run the ball, especially if you get a lead early."
You can, but you got to have freaky shit happen.
That's what I mean. But like, if you get a lead early on Alabama, but you can't run the ball, you can't beat them. In my opinion,
you can't. Yeah, you can beat them, but like, you have to have every break go your way. And they got a bunch of them, and it still wasn't enough.
I like Georgia,
but Georgia's no good.
Ole Miss really isn't either.
Okay, this is going to sound really, really dangerous because, again, Ole Miss and coughing up leads. But who are the two teams that have beaten Ole Miss who came back? Okay, one of them's Alabama. Okay, Alabama's really good. They got all that talent.
Is Alabama
all over
that
the
good,
plate.
Though? And but FSU. Is FSU okay, that but, good? They're good on paper.
But
they look
can
good
throw
on paper,
the ball.
But.
Okay. That's a good point, because Florida State does not look as good now as they did when they came back on Ole Miss. But what do both those teams have in common? They can throw the ball.
Georgia's Jacob Eason.
Really, really shaky passing offense.
I know you don't live in Georgia, but Jacob Eason went to Missouri and won. That's what legends do. I don't know if you knew that. He's like the next.
SEC legends are born in
Columbia,
Missouri.
The greatest team in the history of the SEC East.
I just don't buy that. When you look at the profile of who's been able to come back and beat Ole Miss, I don't see Georgia being able to do that because, one, their defense isn't going to be able to turn it on and stop anything. Like, when you play Alabama, even if you get up to a big lead, you know there's going to come a point where they're going to start slowing you down a little bit. Georgia got lit up by Missouri, who was one of the worst offenses in all of college football last year. There was only like two or three offenses worse than them last
year. But I'm not
like I don't buy that Georgia's ever going to be able to stop Ole Miss. And two, how are they going to throw their way back in?
But here's the, I'm not saying Ole Miss is going to lose. I'm just not sure they win by seven.
I think they either win by. Okay, here's the thing. And I don't know, the bookie's not going to let you make this one. Ole Miss is either going to win by double digits or lose the game. This is either going to be a whooping or a Georgia victory.
I think Georgia wins this one. All right. Actually. You know, I like Georgia.
They could.
Like your sneaky, makes Kirby Smart look better than he is win. Because you said Ole Miss, an emotional team, blew it versus Alabama, blew it versus FSU. They're down on themselves right now. This is the perfect time for Georgia to sneak in because they're riding that confidence from last week.
And that's why I say if Ole Miss can get their shit together and respond, they're going to beat the shit out of Georgia.
I don't think they do.
Oh, no. I'm debating. I'm not sure as
well, that's
I'm recording.
I think that's going to be a fun one to talk about next week when I'm right and you're wrong.
I just do not like this Georgia team at all. I don't like Kirby Smart as a head coach. This team is going to get their asses beat by Florida.
Speaking of getting your ass beat by Florida.
Florida is going to destroy them.
Tennessee's catching 6.5. I like Florida all day in that one. I'm sorry. Tennessee's favored by 6.5. Give me Florida with the points
and you know
all
why?
Day, motherfucker.
And you know why? Because they got a quarterback from the cradle of quarterbacks, Purdue. They
Tennessee,
got it made.
Yeah.
When you got a guy from Purdue,
Tennessee,
you got it.
I like their coach. I like Jones. Whatever. I don't think he's the best person in the world. But his hiring decisions make him look really dumb. And their offensive play calling has been awful. Awful for Tennessee this year.
Yeah. Yeah, their play calling is
like
terrible.
Whether or not you think their quarterback's underrated or overrated or whatever, or that's Dobbs. They're
I don't know how good their quarterback is.
Yeah,
he hasn't
and they're not
coach.
Letting them take advantage of
so
his athletic receivers. Like this is the most boring money.
They're not letting him do anything. Like this is the dumbest offense. And here's the other thing. Here's the main thing I don't like about Butch Jones. This is a guy who worries about shit you absolutely should not ever spend a single second of your life ever worrying about. Because he was pissing at the media after the Ohio game, going, "I chart everything you guys, every week, whatever stupid thing you guys blow up that week, I chart it. Just so I can have it in my record books at the end of the season, so I can see all the stuff you guys said was important. You guys don't know anything." Meanwhile, your team just struggled to beat Ohio. Your crap-ass team that consistently underachieves more than any other program in the country relative to its talent just struggled to beat Ohio. That Appalachian State team that you needed a fumble recovery to beat just got lit up in their own stadium by Miami. Miami is a significantly better team than Tennessee. Miami would beat Tennessee by 3 touchdowns, and Florida's going to go play, or Tennessee's going to go play Florida. Florida's going to whip that ass all
so
up and
down.
So
you know what? You know what I'm going to say? Tease it up. Tease it up to 12. Tease it up to 2 touchdowns. Tease it up to 15. Take out the mortgage. Steal from your grandma's safe. And lock it up. Give me Florida. Cashing 6 all day.
Yeah, man. Florida's just a significantly better team than them. And I just... Tennessee's just bad. They're a bad... They're a mediocre team that has mediocre coaching. That just gets by on the fact that they haven't played the best schedule, and they've just gotten a lot of lucky bounces. There is no team in America that has recovered more fumbles this year than Tennessee. They are fumbling like 3 or 4, like I think they're fumbling 3 times a game, and they haven't lost a single fumble yet. That ain't gonna continue, guys. Oh. I know my co-host here doesn't like statistics.
Not a stats guy.
But one of the most valuable things that anybody's done is Bill Connolly's work with turnover. Because one of the things, by charting turnovers, what he's been able to show is that recovering a fumble or catching an interception is almost complete blind luck. A coach can put you in position where you're going to knock balls down. A coach can put you in a position to force fumbles. But what happens once that ball's in the air? Or what happens when that ball's on the ground is almost total blind luck. Tennessee is so ready to have a game where they have like 6 turnovers because they have lucked their way through the first few weeks of the season, and that luck is eventually going to run out.
And but
Florida seems like the team to force that luck to run out.
We have another little battle in Florida. That's Florida State, South Florida. Florida State only favored by 6.5. I like Florida State to kill South Florida.
Yeah. I don't know about that because I'm not sure. Last week, when you get beat as bad as they got beat by Louisville, that makes me reevaluate everything about your team. So I mean, Dalvin Cook is hurt. Jimbo can say whatever he wants to. Dalvin Cook is not as good as I have seen Dalvin Cook run. This is not how Dalvin
but
Cook
runs. Yeah, but here's
so
my thing with last week's game. That was a game where you like compare it to like a fight, like. You get popped in the mouth early by a team that's probably not as good as you, and you can never recover. Because they get knocked. Like when Buster Douglas
knocked
Mike Tyson.
It's like a knockout.
He wasn't a better boxer. He just caught him early and knocked his ass out. That's what Louisville did. FSU couldn't recover because they got hit in the stomach hard and in the face and in the nuts. Yeah, everywhere.
All the
whole body got hit. Like in the first quarter. And what are you going to do when you're down? What were they down at half, about 30 or 40? You're going to give up.
It was bad.
Sorry. That's what you do.
But usually Florida State doesn't. Like, that's Florida State's gimmick, is that they get down by a lot and then come
back.
But
I think, like, it was a lot of weird things, like going on the road. That game started at 12 when it should have been, like, a 4 o'clock or 8 o'clock game.
That's true. Yeah. That was
a weird
time.
So I think it's just, like, a lightning in the bottle for Louisville. I really do like Louisville as a team. But I'm not going to be, and I kind of did insult them earlier to make my point, but because I'm a bastard. I think FSU's is still a pretty good team. And I think they're good enough to come out and be really pissed off this weekend. And South Florida's whatever, but...
Well, South Florida is the most talented team in the group of five. Like, they have consistently had the top recruiting class in the group of five conference. Every single year, Willie Taggart's been there. So this is... this team is more talented than the NC State team that Florida State's going to play later on in the year. You can't just look at South Florida and go, oh, that's just some group of five team. They're better than – have more talent on their team than a lot of teams Florida State's going
to play. And FSU's coming off a close game versus Louisville. I do like South Florida to be kind of weird in that game. But I think FSU comes out pissed. When you get beat that bad and you're a good team, I think you respond. I think FSU responds next week, and I think they beat the piss out of South Florida. Yeah.
I can see that happening. But the other factor is that this is, like, anytime South Florida plays one of the big three Florida schools, it's circled years in advance. They build to it. This is their Super Bowl.
And, like, in any other scenario, sure. But what Florida State's coming off, Jimbo's a really good coach. He's going to have he's going to have those boys fired up. I like FSU to kill South Florida.
Does it matter, though, if Florida State's offensive line is irreparably fucked, is it going to matter?
Yeah, because it's called passion and emotion. That's something you stats boys don't know anything about. But as a guy who played...
Well, see, it's not a stat thing. See, I mean, I like stats and all, but a passion ain't going to make you good when you're shit. Like, if you're just not good at blocking, I'm more worried about your technique and how you do things. Stats can sometimes help you understand it.
Passion.
The guy who played one
play.
Yeah,
made the tackle and Notre Dame won the pennant. Or whatever.
I don't think that's how it works.
They won.
a guy made a tackle in garbage time.
And no one said he could. So, yeah. I just...
Florida State's offensive line is trash.
I don't think they're trash. And that's not fair. But you know what
trash.
Is it? Okay.
Their offensive line is trash. Their offensive line played like trash in Ole Miss, and it played like
trash
against Louisville.
Trash is UGA's offensive line. FSU's is a little bit better than that, first off. Second, that defensive line for FSU is going to destroy South Florida. Yeah?
I don't know. Like, South Florida's main thing is their ability to be, like, they've got that, like, Jim Harbaugh thing where they're big and tough and physical
and tough and physical against Temple.
I don't know.
But this is Ole Miss got destroyed. And Ole Miss can, in theory, get better talent than South Florida at offensive line.
But Ole Miss can't run the ball at all.
Yeah, but that's from bad scheming.
South Florida.
That's not from talent.
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about. South Florida's got very good scheming when it comes to running the ball.
And I think we'll see, but I think Florida State kills them.
I think this is a long way. I've laid out a case for South Florida, but at the end of the day, this line's what, 6.5?
Yeah.
I'm taking
and, like I said, and your case makes like sense line, any other week, but...
And I would agree with you there, because if last week doesn't happen, this line would have probably been 10.5, 14.5, 15.5, and I would have taken South Florida in a heartbeat. But because Florida State just got their asses ripped open on national television in front of God and country, this line is a lot smaller than it would have otherwise been.
But let's move on to another line. The Hot Seat Bowl, LSU Auburn. LSU favored by about 3.5. That's kind of a pick 'em in some ways to me.
Because this is in Baton Rouge.
So. I'll double check, but it may be in Auburn actually. Last year was in So yeah, it will be in Auburn this year. Last year was in LSU, I believe.
So that means people, you know, LSU is, you know, road dog. That's not all.
No, LSU's favored.
LSU's Auburn,
favored
right?
about 3.5.
Okay, I said that right. I said that wrong. One of these coaches is getting fired.
And
this game is probably going to go a long way in deciding which
one. A weird thing with Auburn and LSU where, and I think LSU might, I think they just look better than Auburn right now, but I'm not sure they're more talented on the defensive end. Well, they look better in terms of like rankings and like, you know, artificial stuff. But when Auburn and LSU are about the same, Auburn usually beats LSU.
Here's my argument for taking Auburn. Now, traditionally, LSU was the one team that could stop Gus Malzahn when his offense was working really well. But that was back when John Chavis was the defensive coordinator. LSU's defense looks like a mess this year.
Yeah, and
if any team is really going to get screwed up by all the weird frippery bullshit, you know, that Gus Malzahn is using in place of having a quarterback,
because he
can't get a quarterback, so he just lines up in like 75 formations and hopes that works. If that's going to work against anybody decent this year, it's going to be LSU. So I could see Auburn, like, you know, throwing out 30 points this week just because LSU's just looking around going, wait, what?
Yeah. Huh? By the way, you insulted Mr. Kevin Steele before the season. He's looking pretty good.
I'll insult that guy all day long.
I argue.
Yeah. He's looked better than I thought. And here's the other thing. Auburn's defense has looked pretty daggum good, and LSU has been shut down by anybody with a defense. Like, I mean, they rolled up 23 points on Mississippi State, but I mean, Mississippi State, talent-wise, against LSU, that ain't saying a whole lot.
Especially
when LSU's offense completely, but they switched quarterbacks to another guy who sucked. Like, they got two shitty quarterbacks.
So, if you're looking for good quarterback play, you're going to hate this game.
I will trust Gus Malzahn's ability to get something out of a crappy quarterback more than LSU's ability to get something out of a crappy quarterback.
And maybe it's Auburn fan in me. I do like us to win this game. I think it makes sense.
I like Auburn to win.
And I think even before the season started, I was like, we'll probably split A&M and LSU. That's my guess. So I figure if we beat A&M, we lose to LSU. We lose to A&M, we'll beat LSU. So we'll see. That's my logic. A lot of science in there, but
This LSU thing, I wonder how much of LSU looking kind of crappy this year has to do with Les just ain't got it anymore, and has more to do with they tried to publicly fire him last year and it screwed up shit.
I think it definitely did, but also I just think he's not a good coach anymore.
I mean, he's not a bad coach. Like, he's forgotten how football works. His offense is just so incredibly basic.
Is pretty dumb.
Yeah. Well, they've always been. He's always had goofy special
teams. Like, that hurts when you're not as good.
That's just part of the
though.
Les Miles experience.
That does hurt. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
So that kind of shit, like, it adds up eventually. And yeah, I would have said it before the Wisconsin game. Like, I think we said on this podcast how dumb LSU fans may be. Sorry, but I think you're right. Miles sucks. He's got to go. I think Petrino comes in there. Who do you like to be the next LSU?
I don't think Petrino loses
like two games.
I don't think he's going to leave Louisville because Louisville kind of rescued his career. And I know Bobby Petrino's never been a very loyal guy. But here's the difference between Louisville now and Louisville and other times. It's like Louisville has enough money to pay them whatever they got to pay them.
When they're part of a big,
This ain't Louisville back when they were in the... This ain't Louisville back when they were in, like, the Conference USA and the shitty version of the Big East when they just didn't have any money. Louisville can pay whatever they got to pay. Like...
Yeah, and,
And Bobby Petrino, if he leaves that job, he's not going to be able to... And I think the other thing Bobby Petrino learned from being in Arkansas is that he couldn't beat the Alabamas of the world. He could win 10 games and he kept losing to the Alabamas of the world. And at Louisville, he can beat Florida State. He just proved that. So why leave? You've got it. You finally got things set up in a place. You might as well stay there. As far as LSU, Tom Herman, Man, that seems the guy
they
need to get.
Well, he's going to go to Auburn. So. Yeah.
Auburn is not getting him. Art Briles is going to Auburn.
Let's say that. Please stop.
Look, you might as well start saying it now so that at some point by next year it doesn't feel so
dirty. I don't
want
to have to defend, because I know I'm going to probably own this cast. I'll have to defend that hire. And I really don't want to. I really don't.
Look. You're going to have to. Hashtag family. He's about to become part of the Auburn hashtag
family.
But,
you know, Auburn's second chance you. We're all about forgiveness. So, yeah.
That's the way. Look, you're going to have to forgive
another
guy.
Look how we turned Cam Newton
around. I'm just telling you.
Into a guy stealing laptops into a young conservative guy. So.
Frank Luntz had a little bit of help with that.
All right. But, we kind of went over the big games.
Let me put it this way: when Cam Newton left Auburn, he was still a black guy. It took Jerry Richardson and Frank Luntz to sort of scrub that off.
He is no longer a black man, but I feel bad for Cam. He gets a lot of heat.
I feel bad for anybody who has to work for Jerry Richardson. Man, Cam Newton, whatever you got to say to keep that fat old piece of shit quiet, I'm fine with it. I'm not mad. I'm not even mad.
Yeah, those are kind of the big games from this weekend. What's your biggest game? To me, I feel like the two biggest are going to be in the SEC this week. That's going to be Georgia Ole Miss, Florida Tennessee. They don't really matter, but they kind of do for the East, I guess. Wisconsin, Michigan State's going to be a pretty important game, but not the...
Florida Tennessee is definitely the highest wattage, but... Michigan Penn State is the game I'm probably circling, because that's the game that's going to tell me how much I should really trust Michigan. Because if they have another week where they struggle with that kind of spread it out, run pass option offense, like we mentioned earlier, if they struggle again with that, then Ohio State's going to toast them. And they're not like, if they can't shut down Penn State, I'm just going to go ahead and pencil Ohio State in.
To the
national championship.
But as we're looking ready to close out on the week, you wanted to bring up some rookie quarterback stuff? Some rare NFL talk?
Yeah, some NFL stuff.
It's coming, boys.
Stuff.
Don't worry. We got something in the works for you people who are like, why are these two guys going on about college? Who cares about college football? I love the NFL. I'm a Roger Goodell guy. We got something coming for you in the next couple of weeks. So hold on.
I love twins. I love light beer.
I love my team.
I love all of it.
I don't
NFL.
Even like Bud Light, but I've got a 12-pack at home because it has the Falcons logo.
LA Rams all the way. That's my team. Okay, what
because
do you
they screwed
the
over St. Louis.
Okay, St. Louis deserves
the most lovable fan base
none of
in
that
sports
from you. Yeah, they're garbage. They're the worst people. Okay, I'm not going to get into, like, people from St. Louis being bad or whatever, but they did not care about that team. They didn't want that team. That team was stolen from Los Angeles. They bribed the owner just to send it there. They gave him a free stadium. They stole the team from L.A. And then I'm supposed to feel bad because L.A. stole it back? What? And they didn't even steal it. They got an owner who looked up and said, oh, when this team was in L.A., it had a top five fan base with top five value. We moved to St. Louis and we became like 29th in value because nobody in this town gives a shit about us. Why should I stay? Oh, I shouldn't. I should go back to the place where they care about us.
Well, that,
and he did.
I don't know. Maybe it's just...
If St. Louis has a problem with losing the Rams, maybe they should look up and wonder why they are the only franchise in professional sports, the only city in professional sports, to lose two different franchises because of lack of ticket sales. They lost the Cardinals and they lost the Rams. Maybe it's not the teams.
Well,
maybe
Atlanta
it's you.
Atlanta lost two NHL franchises.
In the same
the Flames
sport.
And the, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they had
so
they
in
had
a sport,
the Flames,
no one cares
yeah.
about them.
Again, maybe you shouldn't put a hockey team in Atlanta. Maybe it's not the Flames' fault. Maybe it's not
Thrashers.
The what were they? The Thrashers? I get them confused
Thrashers.
With the Predators because they came in at the same time. Yeah. Maybe it's not the Thrashers' fault that they moved. Maybe people in Atlanta just don't
That's
give a shit about hockey.
Crazy.
maybe people in St. Louis, maybe, just maybe, St. Louis isn't a big enough place to have multiple pro franchises, and nobody is going to matter more than the St. Louis Cardinals.
Kansas City.
Baseball
can't be that much bigger.
Kansas City's not St. Louis, Bubba. That's a whole different team.
Smaller than St. Louis?
I don't know. I mean, I think Kansas City's a little bit smaller, but Kansas City has more fans. I mean, that's the other thing. That's the reason why St. Louis has always struggled, is because most people in St. Louis just care for the team.
I just don't like the big elite cities taking away stuff from small town people. Sorry, but that's just me, you know? I'm not a...
L.A.'s a... But they stole it from the big town.
Well, I mean,
like, they're just thieves. St. Louis is a thief city. They stole the team. Why am I supposed to feel bad that stolen property was eventually returned to the rightful owner? It took 20 years, but eventually this diamond that they snuck into a mansion and stole finally got back to the rightful owner.
Okay. I mean, that's, I mean, if you want to side with the team everyone hates, go ahead. It's fine.
But who likes St. Louis? Have you been to St. Louis?
Everyone just feels,
it's
just
not
feel
fun.
Bad for St. Louis, though. Like,
why? They lost a football team because they didn't go to the games. Well, if you don't like them,
well,
why
they
get
were
mad
going
that you
to
lost
games
them?
And the team was good, but when you hire Jeff Fisher and he goes,
whoa, whoa, whoa. You mean that more people went to the games when they were good than when they were bad?
Well, maybe if...
Let me give you some history. The Los Angeles Rams were in the top three in attendance every year from
the
moment they
moved into
the city.
It's one of the biggest fucking... It's the second largest city in America, of course. But if you put a good product out there for the St. Louis...
Their team was crap! The Rams
were
bad
for most
of that period, and
they still
sold out.
That's not St. Louis's fault. That's the organization's fault. That's Mr. the... That's the Walmart motherfucker right there.
Go to games!
That's whose fault that is.
They can't... St. Louis can't draw as well as Jacksonville.
They could when they won.
Which ain't
even
a city.
When they were good, they did.
When they had the best team in the NFL, people managed to actually show up. Well, let's give them a medal.
This is ridiculous. If they were...
When you had the most fun team in the history of pro football, you actually showed up. Well, great. Let's give them a hand job.
Michael Vick, Atlanta Falcons.
I mean, well, no, you didn't. I mean, they had
Marshall. We had Michael Vick. He was way more fun to watch.
They had Marshall Faulk.
We had Michael Vick and Peerless Price. You're tough.
Peerless Price wasn't no good, man. Don't try to put lipstick on that.
Algie Crumpler with the butt. Not to brag.
Man, Algie Crumpler went to Carolina, and I'm still not going to say nice things about
it. Okay, but you know what? If St. Louis actually was a good organization, they wouldn't have had these issues with attendance. It's on them. It's not on the people.
It's not, because it's two different franchises had the same problem. Like, don't tell me that it's all St. Louis's fault. It's all the Rams' fault when the same thing happened to the Cardinals.
But We've even the Cardinals twice. Have been mostly known as a poorly run franchise until recent memory.
The Cardinals were one of the best teams in the NFC in the 70s.
I don't know about the
70s.
I'm born in the late 80s.
But I'm saying, we're talking about history. It's a team that moved.
But
in
they didn't do anything
so
when they
like
went to Arizona, though. They were awful.
But people came because they didn't have nothing else
to
do.
I don't know. Just I don't
like if you're an NFL franchise, why would you want to be located in a small market where you're the second most popular team in the market? You're always going to be behind the Cardinals. You're probably always going to be behind the Chiefs in your own city, as opposed to being in the second biggest
city
in America.
Where you're not
going to
matter, though.
That's like...
They're not going to matter.
The Rams have always been number one in L.A. The Raiders couldn't steal that city away. When the Rams are really good, the Trojans and the Bruins don't even matter as much as the Rams.
The Rams will never be good.
Like, that is one of... They obviously
could
be.
Jeff Fisher.
But that's the thing, is even when the Rams are mediocre, people in L.A. care about them.
I don't think
they're
going to care after, like, 2 years of going 7-9.
The biggest lie in the world is that L.A. fans didn't care about the Rams. If they didn't care, why would they keep selling out every...
We'll see. But I think St. Louis... I'm going to stick up for St. Louis, who I don't really like. So
St. Louis deserves nothing. St. Louis deserves nothing. If you don't go to the games, you can't be mad when they leave.
So you
I'm
would,
sorry. Even if the team is mediocre, this is a business at the end of the Braves. Day. If you don't put the coinage in the piggy bank, you can't be mad
when
they leave.
So you defend the Atlanta Braves leaving Atlanta to go to Cobb County?
Look, the way they got that stadium was very, very shady. That was extremely shady. But if people ain't paying money to come see you, I ain't going to feel
they're
bad when they move.
But they put a good product on the field. If the Rams put a good product,
people
would come.
It don't work that way. It don't work that way. This is a but they didn't. Like, even when the Rams had one of the most exciting teams in the history of pro football, they still didn't sell out.
I don't believe that.
Like, they had the best team, and they still struggled with attendance. They were not a top 10 team in attendance, even in the Kurt Warner year.
Well, there's probably other factors going on.
They were not. The factors are their fan base is so crappy they could only build like a 50,000 seat stadium.
Well,
like they do not have fan support.
But
that's why
famously, that ownership and that team did very little to help the city out too, and to do outreach in the city. That's something a team does need to do if you want to make it work in the city. You need to have an owner.
When you're a city and, like, God opens up and drops a franchise on you when you totally didn't deserve it, man, you kind of need to get off your ass and be happy, don't you?
But no one cared about the Falcons until Arthur Blake came around and, like, started doing stuff for the city of Atlanta, to be honest.
But Atlanta's a much bigger city than St. Louis. So I can, like, don't compare St. Louis to Atlanta. It's not. St. Louis is more comparable to Charlotte.
I guess.
And Charlotte sells more people than St. Louis. Like, Charlotte, there's more people come to Panthers games than goes to St. Louis.
There's nothing to do in Charlotte.
And they were smart and put it, and they picked a city in Charlotte that's on the state, that's on the border with South Carolina. So a bunch of South Carolina people come.
I don't like the way things happen. And you know what? I don't like people that live in L.A.
Why do people in L.A. not deserve
like
to have football?
Coast. Fuck them.
Here's my other thing. Why on what planet would we ever say, you know who deserves a football team? Jacksonville. You know who doesn't? L.A. That's crazy. Like,
okay.
Why does St. Louis deserve a football team and L.A. don't? L.A. deserves a football team as much as anybody else does. They used to have two that they supported.
There's like a bunch of like models and actors out there, though. Who?
You haven't been to you haven't seen an LA Rams like stadium because it's a lot of Latinos there.
True.
It's a lot of Latinos and a lot of salt of the earth.
You know, you do make a good point.
And those people deserve to have a team of their own.
Well, and this you kind of bring up something that is kind of random. I could see Jacksonville when they move. No,
move to St.
Mexico
Louis.
City. I think that's more reasonable than London if you're going to go international.
I don't think either.
No, I think Mexico City makes more sense. It's, you know, if there's not like a big wall keeping going to Mexico.
I mean, look, I'd be more worried about Mexico's internal governmental security.
I figure you got an NFL
that place
team
is,
there. Like,
it's sometimes not the safest place.
But, I mean, you just talk about Latino outreach, you know. With the Rams and like, I could see Mexico City more so than London. I think that's more feasible.
Yeah, well, London's ridiculous. Like there's even people who wrote about this. The whole purpose of starting to do that thing in London every year was so that they knew long term there was going to be a team that ended up in LA. And for the last 20 years, every NFL owner used the fans of LA and their desire to get a football team in order to extort a new stadium out of whatever city they were in. So it's like, well, you better build me a new stadium, Minnesota. You better build me a new stadium, Atlanta, or we could move to LA. So with now LA off the table, what do? You set up London because you're never actually going to ever move to London, but you'll always have London
like
as a
threat. Next most realistic team to get an NFL city to get like an NFL.
Toronto.
Who would go? Toronto. Jacksonville?
The biggest thing, The biggest, well, the Bills.
Well, I think the Bills aren't moving now, though. Is it the new owner? Aren't they getting the stadium? Yeah.
Have they got a stadium deal? Is the stadium deal?
I think they got the
stadium.
I think they're
just
Buffalo's not going to let the Bills go.
Yeah, Buffalo's probably going to do everything they can to keep them. But Toronto would be such a better market.
Yeah, but the people, the Bills fans make it worth it. Slamming each other through tables and throwing, you know, chugging Natty Light. It's awesome.
Well, the Raiders are probably going to end up somewhere. And it's probably going to be somewhere on the West Coast. Vegas, I still have a hard time believing that the NFL
is
going to be okay with putting a team in
Vegas. Legit
Vegas. But, okay, here's going to be the hang-up. Are they really going to be willing to take NFL games off the board?
They're not going to have to. Because I think the NFL ends up relaxing their gambling standards. How about that? Because everyone gambles now anyway. My God.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I just don't see the NFL doing that. I mean, they should. I just don't see them being willing to. Because their owners are all old, and they have a weak commissioner. Like, I could see the NBA getting a team in Vegas because Adam Silver actually has a set of balls and is actually a guy in charge. Roger Goodell's just some jerk-off who sits around being, you know, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Okay.
Yeah, he's a...
Like, he just gets pointed in a direction.
He's a basic bitch.
So I don't see him being able... I don't see him being able to convince the owners to do something radically
different.
Well,
I think if they can figure out a way to get into that sweet, sweet gambling money, they'll be pretty okay with it.
I also think that team would bomb. Because there's just not that many people in Las Vegas. Like, you talk about a city that just doesn't have a local community.
But it's the Raiders. They have a good... That's a good brand.
The Raiders, it was 20 years ago.
No, it's still
really
popular. Like, even with clothing and jerseys and hats. I have some like Hispanic coworkers. They always have Raiders stuff on. They don't even like football. But they'll buy the shirts.
That's true.
So...
I mean, I think the best outcome for everything would be if they could somehow get a new stadium in Oakland. But I just don't see Oakland
being San
Diego
able to do move.
It.
People forget about that.
San Diego, I mean, if San Diego moves now, they've got to be, if San Diego moves, then they've got to be the Jets to the Rams. Like, the Chargers really got slapped in the face by the owner. Because the Chargers believed they were going to get the L.A. deal. They thought it was set in stone, it was going to be them, and then the Rams swooped in and got it with the help of Jerry Jones, if you can believe the gossip. So if the Chargers move to L.A., they'll have to accept being a tenant.
And welcome back. We had some audio issues there. We apologize for that. But welcome back to HalfGuarded.com's Power Hour. I'm here with Dan Ford. We were just discussing Chargers going to L.A., Kind of dumb by them, or should you do it?
I don't think they'll do it now that, you know, basically the NFL rubbed their face in the fact that that the Rams were superior in their opinion. Mm-hmm. I also think San Diego's going to be more willing to give them a new state. I mean, San Diego had already agreed to a new stadium. They were just it was more that San Diego had said, we'll give you a new stadium. And the Chargers were going, yeah, but we'd rather be in L.A. Yeah. Now they know that they can't get that L.A. stadium. That San Diego deal's looking a lot better. So I think ultimately they'll end up staying in San Diego. The Raiders, I think, would rather be in Oakland than move. It's just, I don't know if the city's got the money, and they can't they can't move to San Jose because the 49ers already did.
Vegas or San Antonio or something weird.
Or Portland, I think, is probably... I would give Portland the edge there.
Yeah, I think Portland actually would... You have a nice, loyal fan base in Portland.
They've only got one other pro team. It's a growing city. Portland makes more sense to me than Vegas.
Brand to go with that city. Kind of like the outlaw brand. Portland's
kind of
counterculture. Yeah.
If you just say it, you're just like, I get it. Like, you move them to San Antonio, that's going to be fucking weird.
Yeah. I don't think anybody will. But it would help because the Raiders are really popular with Latinos. In America, especially in the Southwest.
San Antonio is not an outlaw town. That is a very white bread town. Mm-hmm. That is a very, we go to bed at 9 o'clock town.
Yeah.
That is not an edgy play.
No, I would like Portland a lot.
I would most support them staying in Oakland. I think Oakland should keep that team. It's just that stadium's not tenable. So that's one thing where I'm not really going to blame the Raiders one way or the other, even though I think it's going to be shitty, because it's like that stadium like floods with poop once a year. Like,
yeah, but do you think
that's not leaving the Georgia Dome because, well, we'd like a giant butt robot, a robot butt.
Well, we want to play in a robot. The Super Bowl wasn't ever coming back to Atlanta.
I don't buy that. I think
they want the flyover now.
I think Arthur Blank went to the NFL and said, "I want a new stadium. I need you to say that you won't put one for the Georgia Dome." Because the Georgia Dome was still a really very good facility.
Okay, it was.
The Oakland Coliseum is a dump.
But I will say,
floods with feces. Again, I want to reiterate that the Oakland Coliseum floods with feces once a year.
But I will say about the Georgia Dome, kind of ugly.
It looks like a dome.
But yeah, it just looks, I don't like the way it looks with downtown. Like, I think the new stadium's going
to
look a lot
better. Yeah, it's going. You're looking forward to that big robot butt. That big robot anus.
I love some Cletus butthole action.
Yeah.
Cletus, the NFL robot.
Look, the Georgia Dome, but we can both agree the Georgia Dome is better than having 3 inches of feces in your locker room.
But yeah, we'll see another beautiful dome this Monday. It's my Falcons go to New Orleans.
Superdome. Yeah. That's another place where it's like, I'm pretty sure people in New Orleans will tell you that it smells bad and whatever. But the Superdome, it's still in pretty good shape. I mean, and it's went through Katrina.
Yeah. Still going.
But the big thing I wanted to talk about before we start talking about St. Louis and LA and all that was rookie sensations, Cameron Wentz. And Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Prescott 1-1, Wentz 2-0. They've both not thrown an interception yet. Obviously, Prescott ended up on a much better team, the Cowboys.
But the run game has been pretty weak for Dallas.
That has been a bit of a surprise. That is no doubt. But he does have a much better offensive line than the average rookie quarterback.
And game. A really good quarterback. I mean, a really good receiver who, you know, hasn't been doing so hot, but he draws a lot of tension. Yeah. So
Prescott in a lot of ways just like lucked into, well, you ended up on a team that a lot of rookie quarterbacks would never end up getting to play for.
Yeah, but I thought Prescott was a little bit better than where he was drafted.
Yeah,
I thought he was NFL ready.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Prescott has the potential to be like the next Russell Wilson, where it's like, oh man, this guy was way better than a lot of pro people realize, and he fell to a decent team.
Yeah.
Everybody look out.
Well, and he's got the athleticism to make up for rookie mistakes and things like that. He could, may not have the maturity maturity or field maturity yet.
Yeah.
He can make it up with his legs or extending a play or just little things like that.
And again, and like Russell Wilson, he's a guy who like mentally is a lot further along than a lot of rookies. So that's a plus, and the mistakes he does make, he can cover them up with his legs, like Russell Wilson was able to as a rookie.
Although, bigger than Wilson.
Yes, yeah, he's a big fella. Yeah. But here's the thing: is that for years I've had to listen to NFL people bitching that college isn't, they're not making enough quarterbacks. Oh, boo! And then here they are too. Who seem to be off to a great start here. Let's see how well they do before, you know, let's see if their coaches screw them up. Because a few years ago we had Robert Griffin and he was looking like a really great rookie before his coaches got him crippled, and he's never been the same player. But here's this. That's the thing about quarterbacks. They're almost completely random when you get a great one in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's not like every year there's going to be one great quarterback. It don't work that way. Finding a great quarterback is a random thing. So what happens because it's random, you might have a couple of years in a row where there's one good one a year, or you might go 10 years without a good one and then get three in the same draft.
Or your best case scenario for if you're an NFL team, you might get like a Matt Ryan or a Flacco or even like on a lower tier like a Tannehill.
Yeah, Tannehill's bad.
Yeah, but
Tannehill's bad.
Yeah, Well, that's why I meant lower tier, but, you know, you get a Flacco, a Ryan, even a Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, you just find a guy who ends up being functional.
Yeah, or Tyrod Taylor.
I mean, obviously, the draft that's always going to spring to mind is, like, maybe the last great quarterback draft was, the Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger draft.
Yeah.
All three of those guys are Hall of Famers, and they were in the same draft. And they were all taken in the first 10 picks.
And they
I didn't hear people complaining. Right, yeah, that's true. I didn't hear people complaining about, oh, the college game doesn't make enough quarterback. It's just, this stuff's random, and what's the problem is every year the NFL tries to force guys into being a franchise quarterback instead of going, well, there just ain't one this year. We're going to draft accordingly. Like, Ryan Tannehill was not a franchise quarterback. The Dolphins drafted him, and they're stuck with him, even though he just ain't.
Yeah, or you don't really play to that player's strengths because he doesn't fit, like, what you think an NFL quarterback should be. Because, like, I look at, and Roethlisberger kind of is, but the Steelers really play to his strengths, and he's good because that organization's really good.
They've built a team around him to have him be successful instead of trying. You could never force Ben Roethlisberger to be Joe Montana.
No.
He's never going to be that disciplined in his dropbacks. He's never going to be that precise. He's a guy where you have to go, okay, let's try to set up plays where he has a bit of a chance to create.
No, and let's get a bunch of athletic receivers around him. Let's get a running back who can catch the ball, which he's always had, kinda. And kinda worked.
Yeah.
Because who was his old runner? Who's the one who won this? Was it Willie?
It was Willie Green? Parker.
Willie Parker.
Willie
yeah.
Parker was the guy getting the main. I mean, they still had Bettis, yeah. But Willie Parker was the feature back.
But want a guy he can throw off and be a safety valve at running back or a good Heath Miller tight end. And then you get like your Antonio Browns, your Hines Wards, your Coates now. You know, big, long, athletic receivers. That's what's going to make him work.
Because Roethlisberger is never going to be the guy who hits you right in the number. But he's also going to be the guy who, like, with three guys draped on him, makes that throw and gives you a chance to make a play.
Yeah.
But
a real gunslinger.
The other lesson of this year is Dak Prescott came from Mississippi State. Cameron Wentz came from North Dakota State. Big schools don't necessarily have the best quarterback. In fact, they often have the worst quarterback because they're so talented everywhere else. They can kind of get away with having, an Alabama quarterback. You know,
well, who was the last big school quarterback to really do well in the NFL? And I can't think of one.
Well, Jameis Winston's looking like he could be very good.
Yeah. But, let's exclude
him. Yeah, I mean, Jameis Winston would be the one there. But, you know, you go back further and it's like all those USC guys were a bomb.
Notre Dame hasn't
produced a good quarterback since Jesus Montana.
I mean, it's like the second tier pro, like an Auburn or Georgia. Those programs,
had some
success with quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Auburn is like one step below that, but you know
I think we're on the same level as Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah. Georgia. I'm just thinking more like the Notre Dame, Alabama.
Oh yeah, yeah. A tier below your Alabama, USC. Notre Dame, USC. Yeah.
Yeah. Michigan, Tom Brady?
He doesn't count. He's a system quarterback. Which brings me to my last topic on the NFL. Now, people say, oh, he's a system quarterback. The system works. But as we see with Roethlisberger, every quarterback in the NFL is a system quarterback.
Yeah, that is the dumbest thing is when people say system quarterback. And let me put on my June Jones hat. I'm gonna go do my impression of June Jones here. I can't do his voice, but... Every quarterback's a system quarterback. Every quarterback plays in a system. If you got a quarterback who's not playing in a system, then the coach should be fired because what is he sending? He's just sending him out there to just throw the ball deep every play?
Yeah. Like, you tailor your system for your quarterback. Everyone makes sense in their system.
And here's the thing about the NFL, and the NFL people need to get this through their head. If you draft a player, if the quarterback position, everybody agrees, is the most important position. You should never draft a quarterback and then say, we're going to put him in this system. Your whole system should be tailored around what can this rookie quarterback do? What does his skill set project? What can he do now and what does his skill set project that he can do in the future?
Yeah.
If you draft Peyton Manning and you give him a West Coast offense where he has to memorize 75,000 plays as a rookie, You're an idiot.
Yeah.
You're a moron. Peyton Manning should not be running the Joe Montana offense. Peyton Manning is the great is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time because he landed on a team that said, hey, we've got a guy who's really good at recognizing defenses at the line of scrimmage. Let's give him an offense where he has 11 total plays and just have him pick the one at the line.
Yeah. Because I think famously, when Vic came into the league, Reeves wanted to play him in a West Coast, and Vic kind of struggled for those first 2 years with Reeves. And then Jim Moore comes in, it's more of this open running offense, and Vic has a lot of success. You know, it's like more play actions and bootlegs and whatnot.
Yeah, they ran a lot more like West Coast routes, but they sort of simplified a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and like with Reeves there, they really didn't. They tried to do like
yeah, with Reeves, they were trying to make him into Roger Staubach.
Yeah,
which it didn't really make a lot of sense.
But and Reeves it's like, also has the best track record with rookie quarterback.
Yeah, Reeves never. I don't think Reeves ever got along with a quarterback. I mean, him and John Elway never got along. Yeah, Reeves is a bit too much of a dictator to get along with his quarterback. Reeves had too much of a 1970s mentality.
Yeah, Reeves is a guy who, if he came along today, would be a college coach. He never would have gone to the NFL.
he would really struggle with. I mean, he struggled. He had to loosen up with the Falcons a little bit, and he did in some ways.
He did the Dirty Bird.
He was a little loosened up when he was coaching with the Falcons, but. That guy was always just way too much of a, you know, a yelling, screaming, hard ass for a certain era of the NFL, which even in the 80s, he was a little bit of a throwback.
Yeah. So I
would just say when you're looking for quarterbacks, this is my rule of thumb I go by, and I've got a better track record of picking out good quarterbacks than a lot of NFL GMs, so I don't feel bad about talking about it. Go find the guy who's playing well at a school that doesn't have a ton of advantage.
Like a Roethlisberger.
That's a pretty simple thing. Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger was at Miami of Ohio. Miami of Ohio had not been a very good program. He did well there. Well, put a check mark next to his name. That guy might be good.
And he didn't have as much success, but Byron Leftwich at Marshall was pretty decent in Jacksonville for a little bit. Like, he went to the playoffs.
Byron Leftwich did a lot better than Matt Leiner. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
If you drafted Byron Leftwich and you drafted, Matt Barkley, which guy produced? Well, Byron Leftwich was a serviceable NFL quarterback for a half decade to somewhere between a half decade and a decade.
Yeah. So I think
take the guy. Look for small schools when you're looking for a quarterback, because if you've got a guy who's able to carry a lackluster program, odds are he's probably pretty good.
Yeah, because if you look at the top quarterbacks in NFL right now, like just thinking of like top 10, like Flacco, small school, Matt Ryan, Boston College, Tom Brady doesn't really count because he's different.
Tom Brady is the exception.
Yeah, but I had an Aaron Rodgers at California. Like, these are places where they could go and shine, but they learn a lot more about leadership and football because they take there's a lot more on their shoulders in college than an Alabama quarterback who just really has to hand it all.
We're literally, it's just, you're the only guy who could fuck this up. Don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
And obviously there's no perfect rule, because if it was, everybody'd do it. And, you know, this is hard. Finding a quarterback is the hardest thing in sports from a general, if you're talking about from a scouting perspective, there is nothing harder than spotting a good quarterback. But I think a lot of NFL people sort of make things more difficult than it has to be.
Yeah.
I do not know a single college football fan who looked at Jared Goff at Cal and said, that guy's going to be a future NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Everybody in the NFL started salivating over that guy, and college fans went, wait, what? Jared Goff. Jared Goff, huh? I am surprised Cameron Wentz got as much attention as he ended up getting because he was playing at North Dakota State, but, you know, it turned out that's a guy, Cameron Wentz does not fit into what we're talking about, a guy at a mediocre school, because North Dakota State is a loaded program.
We didn't mention every big position. Win versus Iowa.
They beat Iowa, and there was more than a few people who were like, just, well, yeah, that's what should happen.
Yeah.
If North Dakota State, if the only teams I would trust in at the FBS level against North Dakota State are teams with elite recruiting.
Yeah.
I do think if North Dakota State played even an Ole Miss, who aren't the best team in the FBS, but they have that kind of high quality talent, I would probably take Ole Miss. I would probably take even an Auburn, because they have high quality skill position talent at certain spots. But man, if you're an Iowa or a Kansas State or a Stanford, and you don't have elite skill position players, and you go play North Dakota State, you in for a long day.
Yeah, because like you don't have those receivers that are, you know, almost have half a foot on the DB, and they can out jump them out of the building.
You have got to beat them with speed, because if you're going to try to beat them on technique, you are going to get destroyed.
Yeah,
you're gonna beat North Dakota State. North Dakota State completely dominated Iowa. The shocker was not that North Dakota State won, it's that Iowa was able to keep it so close.
Ooh.
Because Iowa was completely unable to run. North Dakota State ran for 200 yards on them. The only thing you look up and go, wow, how did North Dakota State not score more points?
But yeah, let's transition here to plugs. A new segment I just created in my head. MMA Talk on the Power Hour. I don't know what's going on in MMA. All right, let's go to plugs. That was MMA Talk.
Look, you got plenty of more qualified people to talk MMA than us.
You hear us talk MMA and it's going to be annoying. So hopefully Coughlin will let us in on one of those shows.
If we start talking a lot of MMA, Coughlin's just going to he doesn't even have to listen to the audio. He will feel it in his soul and go, something stupid is happening.
I think in Chicago right now, he just had a little twinge in his eye. He was like, what?
Yeah. Wait, somebody was about to say something really stupid on my website. I will not allow this.
You will not allow this. But yeah, let's go to plugs.
Yeah. This week was the first episode of the Champions at Heart podcast. Check it out on our Twitter, which is still at Fire Pro Podcast, I think, until the end of the week, to find the download link. We talked about Hulk Hogan's era in Japan.
When he left his feet.
Yeah. Yeah, occasionally, man. Hulk Hogan, we also talked about the album that Hulk Hogan recorded in Japan with the help of Jimmy Hart, which is one of the greatest things in my iTunes library, I'm going to say.
There's some quality stuff.
At Fire Pro Podcast and at Dan MP4.
And I'll plug my Twitter, at Clay Travis.
BGID.
Yeah, you get a lot of...
A lot of really good Confederate flag takes.
Yeah, a lot of woke takes from Clay Travis. No, you can find me at Zachary T. Gilbert on Twitter.com. I got really nothing big going on Twitter this week.
A lot of good retweets.
Choke me daddy at Donald Trump.
Oh, boy. Let me throw out another friend of the podcast, Boss Morrissey on Twitter, just started a Tumblr. Go look that up. Boss Moz, BossMoz.tumblr.com.
Yeah. Check that out. Coming into next week, we're going to recap all the big games. I'm sure there's a game I'm forgetting about that's going to be important going into, next Saturday. But maybe not.
I just hope that nobody's taken our bookie advice and has been using their actual cell phone. Make sure you've been using a burner because, oh man, they're after you. You owe them a lot of money, baby.
But not this week. Because this week we're going undefeated.
This is the week we get you back.
We figured it out. We ran it. We ran the algorithms. We've seen the film. We're ready.
Yeah.
We're ready. But
we're due for a bounce back, guys. That's what we keep telling ourselves as they repossess our cars.
But this has been Power Hour on halfguarded.com.
Oh, man. The best home possible. The only home you'd ever want to be.
We're so happy.
There's only one thing you can do when you're sitting in your home and you're ready to end the night, and that play the music.